Lamed Dalet, Amid Aleph, all the way at the bottom line of the page. All the way at the bottom line, where it says, Talk of Rishayna Moshech Bishni Kishtayim. Okay. Before the Gemara was talking about how do you know what a true is? Is it Shvarim? Is it true? Is it both together? The Gemara elaborated on that. Now the Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. Bottom line. Okay. Lamed Dalid. Yeah. There, all the way bottom line. And the Mishnah says, Taka b'rishayna mashach b'shnei kishtayim. In the Mishnah there was a din. What happens if somebody, you know, you have one set, so you end with tkiya, and then you start again tkiya, right? Like you build tkiya shvarim through tkiya, then you blow again tkiya. So what happens, the Mishnah said, if somebody blew one long tkiya as long as two, is it counted as one, or is it counted as two? So the Mishnah said, it only is counted as one. That's what the Mishnah said. So now the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Yechanan said, Shama teisha tkiyas b'teisha shoyz b'yayim yotza. What happened, and here it doesn't mean tkiyas, Rashi says he means everything. What happens, you basically need to hear nine sounds of the shofar. We don't know what they are, but therefore we blow more. But bottom line is you need to hear tkiya through tkiya three times, right? So what happens, you heard a tkiya at 9 o'clock in the morning, you heard a true at 10 o'clock, you heard a tkiya at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, you're the next tkiya. In other words, it's spread out over 9 hours of the day. Mm-hmm. It's an exaggeration, obviously. What he means, you didn't hear them all together, you heard them spread out over the day. Yotze yoyetze. That's what Rabbi Yechanan said. So now he says, Tanya namihochi. So we also learned in a braise that shama teisha tkiyas b'teisha shoyz b'yayim, that if you heard nine tkiyas in 9 hours of the day, Yotza yoyotza. What happens? Mitisha bnei adam ke'echad. What happens if you heard nine sounds of the shofar from nine different people simultaneously? That means one guy blew a tkiya, one guy blew a trua, one guy blew a tkiya, all at the same time.
That happened in the store the other day. I was trying out shofar,
and everybody blew.
A lot of guys were teaching and showing each other
how to blow.
Yeah, it was just like that.
Yeah, so that's the gemara. So the gemara lo you're not yotza. Why? The obvious reason is, you can't hear so many things at the same time and concentrate on nine different things at the same time. What happens? Tkiya miza utru miza. What happens if nine different people blew the shofar? One blew a tkiya, not simultaneously. One blew a tkiya, another guy blew a trua, another guy blew a tkiya, and so on. Yaitza yaitza. And he says, afilu bis bisirugim. Even if they blew it discontinuously, it wasn't mamish in a right order. Even if it took an entire day. You know, this is a little bit different than Abiyach. And Abiyach, before we're speaking, you heard from one guy all nine sounds of the shofar. Here he's saying, what happens if it's nine different people? So Rashi explained the Gemara, says, you're also Yetzer. That's what the Gemara is saying. So basically, this Braise and Abiyach said, if you hear nine tkiyas in 9 hours of the day, you're Yetzer. The Gemara says, "Ami Amar Rabbi Yechanan Hachi." The Rabbi Yechanan say that such a long separation really doesn't matter. For Amar Rabbi Yechanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehi Tzadok. Rabbi Yechanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehi Tzadok, "Vahalul or Megillah, whether it's Halul or Megillah, Megillah Esther, Imshok Deligmen Eskula. If you waited the amount of time it takes to say the whole Halul or Megillah, Chayzer L'Rosh, you have to start from the beginning again." Meaning, what happens, Marshal? Let's say Halal takes 10 minutes to say, without the Chazon. Let's say it just takes 10 minutes to say Halal. In the middle of... Guess I'm saying, let's say, for argument's sake, it takes him 10 minutes to say Halal. Okay. In the middle of Halal, the guy takes a 20-minute break. So the Bechon holds, you have to go back to the beginning of Halal again. You can't just finish where you left off. The same thing Megillah says to. Let's say it takes a half an hour to read the Megillah. And for whatever reason it is, in the middle of the Megillah, you took a 45-minute break. So Rabbi Yechon said, you have to start from the beginning. No, because Rabbi Yechon basically holds, if you're stopping in the middle longer than the whole thing takes, it's too big of a separation. So the Gemara's question is, so why be Shofar does he say your Yaitza? It doesn't take 9 hours to blow Shofar. It takes 10 minutes to blow shofar. Here you're waiting 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour. Rabbi Yechon says you're yaitzer. Why is this different than Halal and Megillah? Yeah, any mitzvah, Megillah without any mitzvah you do without a bracha, you're yaitzer. But the question is, here Rabbi Yechon says a long separation in middle of shofar blowing doesn't matter. And by Halal and Megillah, Rabbi Yechon says it does matter. So how can Rabbi Yechon say by shofar it doesn't matter? So the Gemara answers like Kashi. It's not a question. Why? Hadi day, hadi rabbi. The first statement that Rabbi Yechanan said that you're Yaitzer is his own opinion. The opinion that says by Halal and Megillah that if you waited too long you have to start again, that's not his opinion. He mentioned the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadok. He said this is what Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadok says. But he personally didn't agree with that. So you can't ask a contradiction, because Rabbi Yechon and Taka hold a separation doesn't matter. Not by Halal, not by Megillah, it doesn't matter if you make a break. This that Rabbi Yechon said it matters is only according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadok. And this you find many times in the Gemara, somebody will quote from his Rebbe, he himself didn't agree with it. But he's still quoting something from his Rebbe. So the Gemara says, like Asher, Hadi Day, Hadi Rabbi. One is his Rebbe's. So the Gemara asks, that's not his own opinion. It is his own opinion. I'll show you that Rabbi Yechon personally also holds that if it's a long break, it's okay. I mean, sorry, that if it's a long break, it's not okay. Why? Because the Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Abu was once walking behind Rabbi Yechonin. And Rabbi Abu was reading the Shema. Walking, obviously the din is, if you're walking you have to stop for the first pasuk only. Yeah. Then you could keep walking. So you probably stop for the first pasuk. Yeah. And then Rabbi Abu kept saying Shema. When they came to the filthy alleys, when you're not allowed to daven, there's too much filth, you're not allowed to daven, Ishtik, Rabbi Abu was quiet. Basid the Chalaf, after they left the alleys, now it's a clean place to daven, Amalei Rabbi Abu said to Rabbi Yechonin, Mahu Ligmer. Do I have to, can I finish the Shema, or do I have to start again? In other words, he took a break in the middle. Amalei Rabbi Yechonin said to him, Im Shaiisa Kadei Ligmer Eskula. If you waited in the alleys, the amount of time it takes to read the whole Shema, Chayze L'Reish, you have to start again. So what do we see from here? Rabbi Yechonin himself said that if you wait in the middle, as long as the whole thing takes, you have to start again. So why Beshefet does Rabbi Yechonin say? And you can't answer me that he was speaking in his Rebbe's name. Because this was a case Rabbi Yechonin himself was involved. Rabbi Abu asked him a Shaila. He passed in the Shaila, means that's what he held. No, that's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. By Shemoneh Esrei it would matter. We're not finished with the Gemara, but by Shemoneh Esrei it would matter. I mean, it's a very simple thing. I'll give you an example. What happens? Let me give it on. What happens in the middle of the hollow? Somebody goes to the bathroom, and they were there more than the time it takes to say the entire hollow. The entire hollow, not what they have left to say. The entire. According to this Gemara, you have to study, start again. In the middle, God forbid, in the middle of Megillah Esther. I mean, it's a longer time already. Megillah Esther is an emergency in shul or by an individual. Somebody got sick, whatever the emergency could be, and they stopped reading the Megillah for half an hour, 45 minutes. The din is, you have to start again. But Tillim is not a mitzvah. Tillim, you could say, you could stop. Listen, every day we say only a few kapitlach, you know, for the yom, and then we stop, and tomorrow we start to go continue. It's not a mitzvah. The question is, are you fulfilling the mitzvah with it? If somebody's learning the Megillah, and they stop in the middle and go home for 10 hours. It's not a...
I'm talking about the middle of one chapter.
No, it doesn't matter.
When you start again, what is it brought again? Just say that.
You said good question. I would assume not. In fact, the Gemara asks, I mean, the Magen Avraham and Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks a very interesting question over here. No, Rabbanan in the side of the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva Eig asks another interesting question. How could he ask Rabbi Yechon in the middle of Shema? You're not allowed to talk. In the middle of Shema, he said to Rabbi Yechon, can I continue? You have to start again. Right? How could you talk in the middle of Shema? You're not allowed to talk. So he doesn't bring down the answer over here, but I imagine that the answer is, this is relevant to Shema. He's asking him a din about the Shema. He has to know what to do. So it's not called talking. If you talk about the thing itself, it's not considered a hefsek.
But he had already interrupted himself, actually.
Well, he didn't say anything. He was just quiet because it was dirty alleys in Alat Zavim. No, it's not... What? Of... No, he's not. He was reading Shema. It's not a bracha l'batol. He's talking about the Shema. In the Shema, there's no bracha. Yeah, bracha is Krishma, but that's not Torah reading. Yeah, like Megillah. Right. You have to make the Mishaberachs quicker then. Even though the truth is, if it's things pertaining to the mitzvah itself, then it's not considered a hefsek. See, the interesting thing is, over here, the Torah doesn't let him say it. You find many times the expression in the Gemara, Ariyu Durav Yalei, a lion is forcing him not to do it. It's not his doing. So there's another issue, and I don't see the people talking about it. There's an issue that if Torah doesn't let me do something, it's not my fault. Here, he was willing to read the Shema. Torah says to him, you can't read it here. So it's not his stopping. He's forced by Torah not to do it.
The pasuk could take up your palace, go in the bathroom, come down. So it tells you have to take it off.
No, no. You mean tefillin. Tefillin. No, the opposite. This is an example, Tucker. By tefillin, not by talis. Technically, talis you're allowed to wear in the bathroom.
Big talis.
It says in Halacha, because it's a designated garment for davening, it's not proper to. But technically you could. That's why, if you go to the bathroom and you put back your talis, you put your talis back on, you don't make a new bracha. By tefillin you do. Because Halacha says you're not allowed to wear them in the bathroom. In other words, if I take off my talis, I want to run outside for a minute. I take it off, and I know I'm putting it back on. I don't make a new brach on the talus.
Why you couldn't sit this inside to be able to go on the bathroom?
You don't. This is...
Yeah.
There's no condition sits.
For the sake of, let's say, rain for a minute.
If you take off your talus.
Not in the sitters, yes.
Because sitters are not designated for davening.
Make a proper.
Yeah, but it's not designated for davening. The minig is you don't go into the bathroom with a gartel also not. Why not? Because a gartel you wear for davening, so it's not nice. Something you wear only for davening. And let's say, I'll give you an example. A guy that wears a gartel a whole day. There's certain people who wear a gartel a whole day. They can go to the bathroom with the gartel. It's not a problem. But the gartel that you put on for davening, because it's designated for davening, Allah says it's not you're not allowed to. It's not nice to wear it in the bathroom. But you're allowed to. Therefore, if you go to the bathroom and you take off your talis and you know you're putting it back on, you don't have to make a new bracha because technically you could wear it in the bathroom. Tefillin, if you take them off and then you put them back on, you need to make a new bracha. Because tefillin you're not allowed to wear in the bathroom, so it's a break. It's a break that the Torah says you're not allowed to wear tefillin.
You already said the bracha on the bracha.
Make it again.
To
make it again. That's because it's a doubt about Rabbeinu Tam. But if somebody is going to the bathroom in the middle of davening, let's see, today, you're wearing talis and tefillin, you go to the bathroom, So you come out of the bathroom, you make a bracha on the tefillin, not on the talus.
What if you take off the talus for the sake of praying, for instance? Does it make a difference?
No difference. If you know you're putting it back on in an hour or two, you make a new bracha. That's why in the yeshiva many times, the Rebbe Rashab gave that order for the Bachrim, at least then, that before Chassidus they used to drink tea. So the Rebbe Rashab, in the Seder of the yeshiva that the Rebbe Rashab wrote, he says, you learn Chassidus after putting on tefillin and drinking tea. And the Rebbe Rashab wanted the Bachrim to put on tefillin and read the Shema before Chassidus or before anything. Then the shaila is, what with when they put tefillin on again, do they make another bracha? So it's one of two ways you can make a new bracha. Either you go to the bathroom in between, or what the guys used to do is, they would borrow somebody else's tefillin. If you put on, let's say you borrow my tefillin, and a half an hour later you put on your tefillin, because it's a different pair of tefillin, you have to make a new bracha. But if it's your tefillin, and you would put them on 7:30, and then you just put them on again at 8, without going to the bathroom in the middle, you don't make a new bracha. If your intention was that you're putting it back on. If you take off your talis, by the way, and you think davening, I'll give you an example, Rosh Chodesh. Let's say, you know, you're taking off your tefillin before Musaf, and you forget you take off your talis completely. And when you took it off, you thought, that's it, davening's over, I'm not going to put it back on. Then you realize, oh, you have to daven musaf. The din is you have to make a new bracha on your talis.
What if it falls off
your shoulders? So it's all machlekes in halacha, if you feel it falling off or not. The minig is, if you're wearing tzitzis, then you don't. But if not, you have to. If your talis falls off your body and you didn't realize it's falling off, and you're not wearing tzitzis, you have to make a new bracha. Huh? Yeah, sure it happens. What? Then you don't. Then you don't. Because then it's like taking it off. And if you're taking it off, and you know you're going to be putting it back on, there's no problem. Anyway, let's go back to the Gemara over here. So the Gemara asks, you're telling me first that Rabbi Yochanan said, this is his own, this is his Rebbe's, but Rabbi Yochanan personally holds that even if you made such a long break, it doesn't matter. But in the story of Rabbi Abul, following Rabbi Yochanan, right, he told him that if you didn't if it wasn't a long break to finish the whole Shema, then you don't have to make a start from the beginning. But otherwise, you do. So the Gemara answers, "Hachi kamalu." It's about 10 lines from the top, maybe a little more. He says as follows: "The Didi, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Abul the following: According to me." I don't hold to this problem at all. Rabbi Yochanan says, according to 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines in the top.
Yeah, got it.
Hachi kama, the Gemara answers, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he says to him, you don't understand. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't even hold to the whole din bukhlal. Rabbi Yochanan holds, you're allowed to read Shema in dirty alleys. As long as you cover your mouth. So you go like this, mm-hmm. You can continue reading Shema in the dirty alleys. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Abul, listen, according to me, you shouldn't have stopped. But according to you guys, that hold you have to stop, so then I'm telling you, according to your opinion, if you waited long enough, you have to start again. But according to me, it's not a problem. You can read even in the dirty alleys. What's going on over here? The Gemara learns out, from where do we learn that you're not allowed to read in dirty alleys? Where do we learn that from? But the question, where do they know it from? Where do we learn it out from? So in Chumash, it says, "V'hoya machanecha kodesh." Your camp should be holy. So the Gemara learns, in your camp, when you're davening, you have to be holy. But Rabbi Yochanan holds, that's only if you're stopping in dirty alleys. Because now it's your camp. But if you're just walking through dirty alleys, Rabbi Yochanan says, it's not your camp. The Torah says, your camp should be holy. meaning where you camp. Camping is where you stop.
Where you camp is where you daven. You don't daven while you're traveling.
You could. You can daven when you're walking. Even Shema except the first pasuk, you say when you're walking. But Rabbi Yochanan says, according to me, the only time you're not allowed to read in dirty alleys, if you're stopping at the dirty alley and it's dirty where you are, then you're not allowed to read it. But if you're walking through, it's not called you camp. And the Torah says your camp has to be holy. But if you're just walking through, it's not holy. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Abu, or the way the Gemara is answering it, according to my opinion, you shouldn't have stopped anyway reading the Shema. Because you could keep going. You just have to, like he says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he should place his hand over in his mouth, over his mouth, and he may recite the Shema. That's what Rashi brings on over here. So he says, what? Here, yeah, Rashi calls the Gemara in Brachas. If you're reading Shema in the dirty alleys, maniach yadi al pi v'kerei. So he says, b'chal, according to me, you didn't have to do anything. But according to you guys, so again, the Gemara is saying that really Rabbi Yochanan holds, there's no such thing as a break. Even if you're taking a break longer than the mitzvah, it's no problem. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan said by Shefer, if you hear Shefer one blow every hour, no problem. By Megillah, it's no problem. By Halal, it's no problem. By Shema, it's no problem. Taloch is not like that, but Rabbi Yochanan holds, I mean, Taloch by Shefer, this is like that. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tan Rabban, the Gemara goes to a new topic. The Gemara goes to a new topic, Tan Rabban. Tkiyas in Ma'akvis Zuizu. The Tkiyas don't block one another. I'll explain, but the Gemara is going to explain in a second what that means. Brachis ein ma'akvis zuazu. The brachis don't stop each other either. In other words, they're not essential to each other. Meaning, what happens, and there's different ways of learning this Gemara, which we'll soon see. One thing is, in the time of the fast days, what is this Gemara referring to? And days of no rain, the whole Gemara Tainis talks about the Chachamim used to institute fasts. First they started Monday, Thursday. Then they made it more. Then they made it more severe. Then they made every, you know, if there was drought. And also there came times that they blew shofar also. To wake up the people to do tshuva. So the Gemara says, what happens if you don't have a shofar? Can you say the brachas anyway? They said extra brachas on the fast day too. So the Gemara says, no problem. You can say the brachas. What happens if you have the shofar but you don't have a siddur to daven the brachas? You say the blue the shofar anyway. Meaning it's not essential one for the next, that if you don't have one, you're missing it all. For instance, I'll give you an example. Lulav and Esrig, the four things are essential one to another. If you're missing the Aravis, you can't do a mitzvah. Because it's one mitzvah. Tefillin is two separate mitzvahs. The hand and head are two separate mitzvahs. So if a guy has only one of the two, put it on. If a guy, God forbid, has no hands, then he puts it on the head anyway. If you have no head, whatever, don't you worry about it.
And now what happens?
The Rebbe asked that to a kid once.
If he doesn't have a hand, somebody has to put in.
See, if he has no hands. Yeah, somebody could do it for him. It's no problem. A kid was once, the Bar Mitzvah kids used to go into the Rebbe for Yechidus. So the Rebbe used to tell him to say the Maimer, a few lines. And then the Rebbe also, the kids used to have a pilpul for the Bar Mitzvah. So the Rebbe would ask the kid to say a few, in the Yechidus with the parents. The Rebbe would say to the kid, say a few lines of the pilpul. And then the Rebbe would ask a question on what the kid said. You know, whatever. So there was one kid went in, and his pilpul was about, if you don't have a hand, what do you do with tefillin? You know, so you're missing, God forbid, the left hand, whatever. So the Rebbe asked him this question, what happens if you don't have a head? So then what do you do? What were you saying?
According to this, theoretically, you could start saying the Shema, then somebody's supposed to shake in your ear, then you switch to the Hallel, and a half hour later, you say a few more psukim in the Shema, and it would all not be against the law of interruption.
Could be.
Yeah, all
could be.
Very good.
gone. Could be. Okay. So now, so Tan Rabbanan learned. Tkiyas and the brachas are not ma'akiv one the next. Meaning, if you have a, you could do a, the brachas without tkiyah, without the shayf. You could do shayf without the tkiyas. This is on the fast day. Then it says, tkiyas of brachas shod Rosh Hashanah, the tkiyas and the shayf of Rosh Hashanah for Musif, the shayyim akipurim, or Kim Kippur of Yevil, ma'akiv zuizu. Stop are essential one to another. Meaning, the way the Gemara is learning now, and by the way, this is the way Rashi is learning, and most people disagree with Rashi, but Rashi learns that it means is that what happens if you have no shofar, can you daven musaf? Or if you had a, you don't have a siddur, can you blow shofar? I mean, sorry, can you, you have a siddur but no shofar, can you daven musaf no shofar? If you have a shofar, no siddur. So Rashi holds, what the Gemara means is they do block one another. That means Musaf and Shofar must be together. If you don't have a Shofar, you can't do Musaf. If you can't do Musaf, you can't do a Shofar. That's the way Rashi does. And everybody refutes Rashi because they say, because soon the Gemara is going to ask, if you have one place that only you can daven and one place you can do Shofar, which one do you go to? So according to Rashi, if it means that one, both are essential and you can't do one without the next, that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara is going to say, what happens if a guy as one place they can blow shofar, and one place he could go daven, but you can't do both. So Gemara says you go to shofar because it's biblical. But if the Gemara is saying over here that you can't because one is essential to the next, so how can a guy do that? So they learn a different concept. When it says here now in the Gemara by shofar that brachas and tekiyas are ma'akvis, he means like this. Are all the brachas ma'akvis? What happens if you only say, there's nine brachas in the Musaf for Rosh Hashanah. What happens if you say four? You can only say four. That's all you know. Should you say four, you should say none. So the Gemara says, you need to have all nine brachas. You can't just say four brachas. You need to say all nine. What happens if you have a shofar, but you can't blow, let's say, shvarim? You can't, you just don't know how to do it. Yeah? Are you Yaitza? Sigmar says, no, you're not. You need to have tkiyah, trua, tkiyah. Minimal. If you don't know how to do it, then you're not Yaitza. So this is the very famous Gemara that Chassidus always brings down. My time, why is tkiyah and the brachas essential? In other words, Rashi learns, when the Gemara says tkiyah and brachas are essential, the way Rashi learns is, tkiyas and brachas to each other are essential. Most of the Rishonim know, no, tkiyas within themselves are essential, you need to blow all, and brachas are essential to each other that you need to say them all. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbah is a very famous Gemara in Chassidus. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Imru Lefani B'Rosh Hashanah, Hashem says to the Jews, say before me on Rosh Hashanah, Malchias Zechreinus V'Shefris, Psukim of Kingship, Psukim of remembrance and Psukim of Shefar, and the Gemara continues. Hashem says, Malchus, why should you say Malchus? That you should accept me to be your king. Zechreinus, why do you say Zechreinus? That my remembrance should come before me for good. Ubameh, and how? B'Shefar. Now, according to Rashi, it's very simple what the Gemara means. Rashi says, you see that you, how do you do with Shefer? So you need the brachas and you need Shefer. But other mefarshim, like we said before, that refers to the each other, because you're learning out from Zechrein and Shefer, Malchi, Zechrein and Shefer, that just like they're essential to one another, the Shefer that you blow by each one is also essential to one another. So therefore, it's important. And the Gemara is explaining as follows. Why on fast days is it not ma'akiv? Why on fast days the shofar? Because that's only rabbinic. This, the Gemara says, is all biblical. And if it's biblical, you have to blow all the shofar, and you have to daven all the brachas, because that's biblical. But if you're talking about fast days, that the Chachamim instituted to daven and to fast. And the Chachamim said, listen, if you have one, you do one without the next. Then the Gemara says that Papa Bashmul come letzluye, got up in Rosh Hashanah to daven by himself. No minyan, got to daven by himself. Amale Lishami, he said to his student, when I give you a signal, tkali blow shofar for me. Meaning, he was davening Musaf and Rosh Hashanah by himself, for whatever reason, he couldn't go to shul. And he said, he was davening, he didn't want to blow in the middle of davening, because then he would lose concentration where he was up to. And don't forget, they didn't have sedurim in those days, so everything was memory. So it says, he didn't want to blow shofar himself, so he wanted a servant to blow for him. So he told the servant, when in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, they signal you to blow shofar, to blow shofar.
Is that a Jewish
thing? Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah. If you go, you couldn't blow.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, Amalei Rava. So Rava said to him, what are you talking about? Lo yamru ala b'cheveir. The whole blowing during the Shemoneh Esrei is only by a minion. Mm-hmm. If there's no minion, don't blow.
Mm-hmm. So he said,
no, it was himself.
No.
He's davening in private. No, the Gemara says that he was davening by himself, so that wasn't the case. You bring down over here, Machlek, and some poskim write that if you're davening by yourself, you should hear Shofar before Musaf, not during Musaf, whatever. Tanya Namihochi. So we taka learned in a braisa. What does it say in the braisa? Shehu shemin. When one hears the shofar, shemin ala seder. You have to hear him in the proper order, meaning tkiya, teruah, tkiya. Val seder brachas in the order of the brachas. But when is this din applied that you have to hear shofar during the Shemoneh Esrei b'chaviir when there's a minyan? Avashle b'chaviir. But when there's no minyan, shemin ala seder. You hear him taka shofar tkiya turo tkiya in the order, but v'shleya say that brachas. You don't do it by the brachas. So therefore, he said to him, "Why are you asking the guy to blow shofar for you during the brachas? If there's no minyan, you don't blow shofar during the Shemoneh Esrei." The yachad shleya taka. Then he says, "What happens if an individual didn't blow shofar? Chaveri tekelo, his friend blows for him." Meaning that somebody, what the Gemara is saying, basic over here. That you don't have to blow shofar yourself. Somebody could blow for you. Yachad shalei birach, but for an individual didn't daven, over here birach means the brachis, ein chaveirim mevarech olav. Your friend can't daven for you. Now the Gemara is saying as follows. Shofar, somebody could blow for you. Davening, and this the Gemara is going to go into a whole discussion, since this is not the halacha, that you can't daven for somebody else. Even though he's listening to you. You can't daven for somebody else.
But somebody else reads the Shemoneh Esrei.
No, the Gemara is talking about having a chazan daven for you. Yeah. Well, the Gemara is going to discuss what this guy means, because the Chazan is the whole union of a chazan.
Yeah.
To daven for you.
Yeah.
The Gemara is going to manage to discuss this in
a person is ignorant. You don't know how to read everything. You only can listen.
So the Gemara is going to discuss what happens if the guy knows how to daven. Can he listen to the chazan?
Oh.
That's what the Gemara is talking. The Gemara is going to answer in a second. But the Gemara is saying, everybody agrees that if a guy is ignorant and doesn't know how to daven, that's why you have a chazan.
Yeah.
To repeat. Yeah. What happens if a guy knows how to daven, but he's too lazy? Is he allowed to listen to the chazan daven and consider it as if he davened? So the Gemara says here, you can't. If I know how, but the Gemara is saying as follows, if I know how to blow shofar though, you could blow for me. The only exception to this interesting din is by Bris Mila. You have to do the bris. You have to cut yourself. Not cut yourself. You have to do the cutting yourself. You make the moil a shliach to do it for you. According to many opinions, if you're a moil, let's say, or you know how to cut, you can't have somebody do it for you. You must do it yourself. But that's an exceptional case. If I know how to blow shofar, or if I know how to read the Megillah, or if I know how to do anything, you could still do it for me. The Gemara is saying over here with the Shemoneh Esrei, this is the way the Gemara is going to explain it, that if the guy knows how to daven, the chazan can't daven for you. Even though shofar, he could blow for you. But not davening. And the Gemara is soon going to discuss, is this every day or Rosh Hashanah? No, davening. Because there are opinions that hold on Rosh Hashanah, because it's so long in this, even if you know how to daven, the guy could be yetzer for you. Why don't we do it today? Because it means total concentration for the whole duration of the Shemoneh Esrei. If the chazan is davening for you, that means you got to stand there with a siddur, or not if there's no siddur, obviously. Listen word for word from the chazan and concentrate the whole time. You know, that is in the shul impossible.
Like
with all the yakering talk.
Just like Megillah?
Yeah. Yeah. Just like Megillah, you have to listen to every word.
Yeah.
If you want the chazan to daven for you, you got to listen to every word. And it's a long davening. You know, you're going to have patience for that. So the halacha is today, you have to daven yourself. You can't get out of it. But technically, what happens to if a guy doesn't know how to daven? Yeah. According to halacha, he has to listen to the chazan, verbatim, every single word, and then he's eight to daven.
He doesn't
know how to daven. Today is a different story. Today you have English siddurim, so you can daven in English. But I'm saying in those days, there were no siddurim. Right? So what happens if a guy taka didn't know the Shemoneh Esrei by heart? What do you do?
Daven in English is a
siddur? Not, no. As good, for sure not. I mean, the Hebrew, huh? But to say that it has the Kiddush, I mean, the words of davening were made Anshe Knesset HaGedela. It's a divine inspiration. It's holy words in there. I mean, it's, you know, there's no substitute for the original, you know. But technically, if a guy davens in English, the only Shiloh which I didn't see anywhere yet, and it's a big problem, because it's happening more and more in these Chabad houses in the far out places. What happens if you have 10 people in shul and you don't have 6 that know how to read Hebrew? They can only daven in English. Can you repeat the Shemoneh Esrei? Is it considered a minyan? What happens if you're in a Chabad house in who knows where, and you have to completely irreligious people? Yeah. Or I'll tell you better, you go to a mourner's house.
Yeah.
Go to a mourner's house, you don't have 6 people that know how to daven. But they can read English. So what happens if you 6 people daven in English? Can you repeat the Shemoneh Esrei? Is that considered a minyan? By the way, that's only for sure, not if they read it. Most of the time you give a person English to them, they just read it with their eyes. That's not called davening. Davening, by the way, in English means you say the words in English. Not reading the words with your eyes. It's not called davening. You're not yet to davening like that. You have to actually say the words. What is the read it and blessed your Lord, the King of the Universe, whatever. So Shaz, if you could, it's that enough of an Indian to be able to be Chazar Sash. I didn't see it anywhere. I'm sure it says, I don't know.
I know a rabbi who had a whole prayer book prepared for Russians, and it all was transliteration. So they can read everything through the sounds in Hebrew. They don't have the faintest inkling of what it means.
That would be okay.